Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Friday, January 19th. And the Pistons are officially right now outside of the playoffs, looking in the Eastern Conference, a lottery team after the Philadelphia 76ers got the win on Thursday night in Boston. But this is your host, Matt Shook, and you should be following me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed, aptly named Locked On Pistons. Follow us on Facebook as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. We'll be looking ahead today to the Washington Wizards and also the Brooklyn Nets, the two weekend opponents in downtown Detroit for the Detroit Pistons at Little Caesars Arena. I got a trade proposal that I put through the NBA trade machine on ESPN.com that I want to get your thoughts on for the Pistons as the February 8th trade deadline approaches. And also I'll be unveiling my All-Star selections. I know you've been waiting with bated breath for the Locked On Pistons All-Stars, and I got a little bit of listener reaction that we'll pass along later on in the show as well. But as you know, and as I've been telling you, sports jerseys are expensive and have a short shelf life. The season you invest in one, you know that guy is getting traded soon. Rep the Squad is your answer for all of this. A mail-in jersey subscription service for authentic jerseys, not the cheap ones. It's genius, and Detroit is one of their initial markets. Switch between your favorite styles and stars whenever you'd like. Kenny Golladay, Calvin Johnson's platinum jersey, Andre Drummond in blue, Andre Drummond in white, Isaiah Thomas, Reggie Jackson in blue. They are all on there. New jerseys arrive fresh and clean in 2 to 3 days. It's like the old Netflix system for authentic jerseys. The perfect gift for your kids who are going to grow out of the old ones anyways. Cancel anytime, and it's a great gift idea as gift subscriptions are available. Locked is the promo code, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 2 weeks free. Again, promo code LOCKED at the website repthesquad.com. Support this podcast and enjoy this fine product this season, and rep the squad for the Detroit Pistons this year. But starting off with the Washington Wizards, we put them kind of in the same category as the 76ers and even Toronto from the other night, Indiana maybe up until this season, as, man, we can never beat these teams if you're a Pistons fan. They're just on that list. In fact, Washington, I look back and they've won 11 of the last 15, including the two games that they've played this season in D.C. as well. There's a game in 2016 that stands out to me, and I'll tell you why. I went back and found the box score about it. It was in March, and that was that one year the Pistons had their good year. They went to the playoffs as the eighth seed and got swept by Cleveland. It's kind of funny. I laugh as I say that the one year that they had the good year where they were an eighth seed and got swept out of the playoffs. Man, what a sad time that it's been for Pistons fans over the past decade or so. I was living in the Virgin Islands on St. Thomas, as I'm sure I've mentioned many times before, especially this winter as we're braving through it, and how nice it would be to be back down on Megan's Bay right now. I want to say what's up to my friends down in the Virgin Islands. Hope you guys are recovering from the Hurricanes last hurricane season. But I didn't have a league pass down there in the VI. The internet wasn't good enough, and you kind of take what you can get down in the VI. But I cleared out my night because the Pistons were going to be playing in Washington on NBA TV, or maybe it was ESPN. It was a Monday night. I was off from work at the Virgin Islands Daily News newspaper. And it was springtime, so I was getting ready for the Pistons to have their playoff push. I was excited about their chances, and they just got their asses kicked that night. It was a 124-81 loss. It was an ugly one, and that kind of soured me on that 2016 team until the playoffs came along. They were back on TV, really giving the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James and the eventual NBA champions a pretty tough series that spring. So kind of a weird mix of emotions there because we felt like that team was taking the next level. Stanley Johnson was a guy who wasn't taking any crap from LeBron James, which, you know, despite his up and down play in his rookie season, got us kind of excited for last season, which turned out to be we all know what last season was. And this season could go either way, right? Couldn't it? It's, you don't know which way it's going to go for the Pistons right now. But back to real life, the Wizards, they're 25-20. They've lost 4 of their last 6, so kind of in a down spiral like the Pistons are right now. Washington got hammered by Charlotte on Wednesday, even much worse than how Detroit got hammered by Charlotte on Monday on Martin Luther King Day. So they're kind of in the same boat in a lot of ways. John Wall is back, unlike he was not for the last couple times, or the last time the Pistons played in Washington, D.C. Him and Bradley Beal are trying to figure things out right now. That's obviously a very talented backcourt, maybe the most talented backcourt in the NBA. Put that up with, you know, Golden State, probably better, actually. But then you got Portland and a couple other teams that have just bona fide all-stars at both the point guard and the off-guard position. I predicted a huge season for Wall and a breakout year for the Wizards this year, but I've been very wrong about that so far. Injuries for John Wall have been a bit of a problem. He had that knee that put him out for a few weeks. But this is a big test for the Pistons, but a winnable game at home on a Friday night on ESPN. I'm very interested to see how they respond to this one. By the way, Rick Carlisle reached out to Stan Van Gundy, and Stan said at practice on Thursday that he will go ahead and participate in the pregame exclusive ESPN interviews and the in-game stuff and everything like that. Carlisle is the head of the Coaches Association, the former Pistons coach. He kind of told Van Gundy to instead direct his ire at ESPN.com instead of ESPN television. This all stems from the LeVar Ball article from Lithuania where Jeff Goodman wrote about quoting LeVar Ball, ripping on Luke Walton, and Carlisle and Van Gundy and some of the other coaches went on kind of a tirade about how ESPN shouldn't be sending reporters over there, giving LeVar Ball a mouthpiece, and Van Gundy put up a little bit of a weird protest. I've talked already too much about this, and I know you guys don't want to hear about this one anymore, but anyway, kind of a misguided protest that won't actually happen for Van Gundy, so I guess that's a good thing. The Wizards are one-point favorites in Detroit on Friday night, so I've got no read on this one right now. I feel like it's kind of a toss-up, so go to mybookie.ag, use your own gut on this one. I'm not going to give you any expert analysis. I'm holding tight to my 2-0 record on recommendations so far this year. But then again, on Sunday, Pistons will be in action, a 4 o'clock start at Little Caesars Arena. The Lions will be playing their NFC Championship game starting right around that, so I wonder what the attendance will be like. Oh, wait, no, that's going to be next year when Matt Patricia comes in and takes this team straight to the Super Bowl. But Brooklyn is playing in South Beach tonight on Friday night, so that's probably a loss for them against the Red Hot Heat, but probably going to be coming in about losers of 7 of 8, including the butt-whipping the Pistons laid on them last week in New York City. So Brooklyn is struggling, as they always are these days. That's a franchise that's just about as low as you can get in the NBA right now. But Damari Carroll is back from injury. He didn't play in that game where Detroit spanked Brooklyn all over the place last week. As you remember, Spencer Dinwiddie will be back in town as long with Caris LeVert. And I've got a trade proposal I want to tell you about a little bit here on Locked On Pistons. I want to let you think about it and let me know what you think on the social media channels or other places as well. So I'm going to tell you about that after this. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want men in that 18 to 44 demo, then this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes! And now for all the talk of Kemba Walker and other pipe dreams that Pistons fans have, this trade deadline, here's a guy that I could see Detroit possibly making a move for. He's got 2 years left on his contract, $15 million apiece. He made his name for some of those Atlanta Hawks teams that overachieved, and he got a nice contract with the Toronto Raptors, but he was hurt for this time that he was with them, kind of dragged down that team a little bit, and they've flourished since they've pawned him off to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have done a smart job the last season or so since Sean Marks has kind of taken over that franchise of collecting assets by being the we'll take your cap unfriendly deals, such as Damari Carroll when he was at kind of a low point this past offseason, picked up some picks in exchange for absorbing the contract. But now Carroll's playing pretty well. He's starting every game right now for the Nets. He's averaging about 13 points and 7 rebounds a game, so he's building up his value a little bit. I do expect him to get moved at the trade deadline to somebody, and that could be something the Pistons could match a contract with this month or this upcoming month here with the trade deadline approaching on February 8th. I think that's the most important thing and the biggest thing the Pistons need to improve on this year if the hope is to kind of gear up this team for a playoff run and a second half of the season here. With the wing position, you got Reggie Bullock starting there and Stanley Johnson. Who knows what you're going to get out of him for the rest of the year. The hip is obviously a problem. And even when he has been playing, he's been atrocious this season. So, you know, Reggie Bullock is your starting small forward and your crunch time guy is not a good option, especially if you're thinking about trying to win some playoff games this year and maybe even possibly a playoff series. So I think Damari Carroll would be a big upgrade for the Pistons there. It's not a great contract for Brooklyn. There's no real need for them to hold on to him. It's a team that's in need of future assets, and especially without a first-round pick next season, as they, you know, the final fallout of the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett debacle trade from several years back, that the Boston picked up their first-round pick, and that was part of the deal for Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas this offseason. So the Cleveland Cavaliers currently have their Brooklyn Nets picks for this year. So a trade that I put into the trade machine, and a little bit of spitballing here, was John Luehr and Stanley Johnson for Damari Carroll. No picks, nothing else involved that way. Obviously, if you're the Pistons, you're giving up an asset in Stanley Johnson and someone who you could be gambling on for the future if you're the Brooklyn Nets, and see how that goes. John Luehr is someone who's an albatross contract for the Pistons right now. He's got 2 years left on his deal after this season, whereas Carroll only has one more year on his deal. So it helps out the Pistons, and you're looking at your cap sheet a couple years from now. John Luehr is going to be, like I said, two more years. If you're Brooklyn, that doesn't really screw you up in terms of when you hope to get good again, when you hope your contention window opens up, which is still several years down the road. But you can kind of maybe roll the dice with Stanley Johnson, absorb the John Luehr contract, mess up your cap a little bit more. But that's the kind of moves that the Brooklyn Nets have been making. So tell me what you think out there, Pistons Twitter, or anyone else on social media, or through the email. Let me know what you think about John Luehr and Stanley Johnson for Damari Carroll. Don't need to mortgage any more of the future by throwing any more picks or anything like that in there. You hold on to Luke Kennard. Like, I know he's kind of our special baby right now as Pistons fans. But you know who what else might like this trade a lot is the Cavaliers, as that would make Johnson and Luehr, a couple of injured players going over to Brooklyn, makes them a lot worse for these next few months, makes that Cleveland Cavaliers pick maybe a little bit more dangerous, a little bit better ones. And NBA fans might benefit from that too, because I'm guessing Cleveland's going to be looking to deal that pick sometime in the next month. And if it becomes a little bit more valuable with Brooklyn getting worse, possibly the Cavs can use it to get a better player to help them out for the stretch drive in the NBA playoffs. And maybe, who knows, maybe they could add a piece that could make the finals competitive this year against the Golden State Warriors, as opposed to what it was last year. But I'll have the Locked On Pistons All-Stars for you a little bit later on in the podcast. We're going to be breaking down who I think should be representing the East and the West. Screw the players and the media and the fan vote. Here's who you need to know should be on the NBA's All-Star teams. If you're a Pistons fan, you're probably a Lions fan too, so you should be listening to Locked On Lions, the daily podcast on the Locked On Network by Matt Derry. You know Diesel. He does a great job with the podcast, so listen up to him as well. And here are the Locked On Pistons All-Stars, as on Thursday night they unveiled the starters as voted by the fans, the media, and the players. LeBron and Steph Curry will be the captains of the All-Star teams this year. The new format this year is that they're selecting the teams from the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, as they always have. They're going to throw all of those players into one giant pool and have a draft that they're not even going to televise and not really going to do much in terms of unveiling of orders and whatnot. I'm sure that they'll probably give some of the indications as to what happened. But anyway, LeBron and Steph Curry are going to divvy up the teams just like on the schoolyard, and then they're going to go ahead and pick from there. So the Eastern Conference starters, and again, these guys could play on whatever team of LeBron and Steph. I really don't quite understand why they're doing this format. I know that they think that the All-Star game is a little bit dry, but I don't see how this really fixes any of it. But anyway, Giannis Antetokounmpo will be an East starter, even though, like I said, he won't be an East starter. And then Joel Embiid, DeMar DeRozan, and Kyrie Irving. So those are the five guys, when you throw LeBron in that mix, that are going to be the quote-unquote Eastern Conference All-Stars. And then the West, in addition to Steph Curry, he'll be joined by teammate Kevin Durant, as well as James Harden, and then a pair of players from the New Orleans Pelicans, as Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are quote-unquote Western Conference starters, although at 23 and 21, hard to believe that a team like that would get two starters. And I think Anthony Davis certainly deserves it, but DeMarcus Cousins, I'm just about as far off of the DeMarcus Cousins bandwagon as you can be, and I know that there's a lot of folks out there that are going to hate that. He's obviously an ultra-talented player and should be among the conference starters in the All-Star game, but just hasn't been able to win at any stop so far in his career, and I would imagine that he will have another stop and another stop coming up as his career kind of rolls on and teams kind of get sick of him. But Coming up Tuesday will be the reserves that will be determined by the NBA coaches. And here's my ballot, which is not a real ballot, but my Eastern Conference reserves. And again, they're just picking seven more guys, and they're going to pick seven from the West, and that's going to make up the pool of players that Steph Curry and LeBron James will divide up between the teams. Again, it's going to be a strange one, and I wonder what the reactions are going to be after the All-Star game, if they're going to try to maybe go back to the East versus West or keep this or try to maybe promote that draft that they're going to have between those two players a little bit more. We'll see. But anyways, Eastern Conference All-Star reserves. I think it's pretty clear that Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers deserves a spot, as well as Al Horford of the Boston Celtics, a Grand Ledge guy, a Michigan guy, so congratulations to him. He will probably get another All-Star appearance there. My next All-Star is going to be Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks. He's kind of fell off a little bit lately, but he had such a great start. I think he's an All-Star. I'm going to give one spot to Goran Dragic of the Miami Heat. The Heat are playing so well lately, and he's been the linchpin of what they do, with apologies to Hassan Whiteside there. Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards is going to get an All-Star vote from me, although I don't really have a vote. I'm just making up these as I go. But congratulations to Beal, a St. Louis guy, going to the All-Star game, in my opinion. Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are playing so well right now that I had to give them a second spot as well. And the last spot, not that these are in any kind of order, but Andre Drummond of the Pistons. I've been on record as saying he deserves to make it, and I will put him on the Locked On Pistons Eastern Conference All-Star team. Leaving off, John Wall, Tobias Harris, Kevin Love, Hassan Whiteside, and Ben Simmons. Those guys, for a variety of reasons, Wall's missed some games. The Wizards have underachieved a little bit. Tobias Harris isn't getting it done in crunch time and really isn't much of a defensive factor. Kevin Love, the Cavaliers are a little bit of a mess despite the brilliant season from LeBron James so far this season. Whiteside missed some time and hasn't been an offensive force consistently throughout the season. Ben Simmons, the 76ers need a little bit more winning from me to get the second selection on the team, and Ben Simmons should make plenty of All-Star teams as his career progresses and he adds a jump shot to his game. By the way, on TNT on Thursday, Shaq, Kenny, EJ, and Charles did their reserves. Three of those guys had Andre Drummond getting on the team, with Kenny Smith leaving him off, the former Piston Kenny Smith, as we noted in a past episode of Locked On Pistons. Kenny did have Tobias Harris as one of his reserves, while Charles had Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond as Eastern Conference All-Stars. Not quite sure how he thinks that's going to happen, but maybe the coaches will surprise us and give both Drummond and Harris some love and get them both on the conference, the Eastern Conference team, which, again, is not really the Eastern Conference team. But we will see what happens on Tuesday with that. In the West, going with Jimmy Butler and LaMarcus Aldridge as slam dunk choices. I guess we can also throw Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Russell Westbrook as slam dunk choices as well. It's kind of tough to parse out the final few spots there in the Western Conference, but the slam dunks, Jimmy Butler from the Minnesota Timberwolves, such a great addition to them. He's got them playing really well right now. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guy who probably should have been a starter from the San Antonio Spurs. Draymond Green, always a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Just the glue of the best team, not only of this year, but of the last several years. And we'll put Klay Thompson to give the Warriors their four spots. Last year's MVP, Russell Westbrook, not a huge fan, but certainly he is an All-Star and deserves to be on the team this year. And I've got my last couple selections. I'm going to go with Lou Williams of the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clips are now the eighth seed in the East after weathering the storm with some injuries and dealing with the fallout of the Chris Paul trade as well. And I'm going to give my final spot to Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. I just feel like those guys are fun selections. I like Lou Williams as probably a guy who might be his only chance of becoming an All-Star throughout his career, and I think it deserves a little bit of praise what he's been able to do with the Clippers. And Jokic is just putting up huge numbers once again for a team that's playing pretty well in Denver despite fighting some injuries of their own this season as well. So leaving out guys like Karl-Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Paul George of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers, and rookie Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. Karl-Anthony Towns just wasn't getting it done offensively throughout much of the season. I feel like he has a lot of empty stats. Watching a couple of those early games against the Pistons, you watch it and you see his game go by and you think, wow, he didn't really do much at all. And then you see and he had 20 and 10. And those are the types of 20 and 10 games he's putting up consistently. And I understand I don't watch a lot of the Timberwolves games, but I understand that he's playing a little bit better defensively as of late, and I'm certainly he will be a multi-All-Star competitor throughout his career as well. It's tough to get on that Western Conference All-Star team, as we all know as well. Paul George, I just felt like Oklahoma City's swoon at the beginning of the season was too much to get two guys on the team, although they are playing a lot better, so credit to the Thunder there. Dame Lillard left off my All-Star team again. He's certainly an All-Star caliber player, but and I don't he's doing some campaigning for it. I never like that, and I shouldn't really hold that against him too much, but it probably am in the recesses of my mind. We'll see if Donovan Mitchell is able to become a Western Conference All-Star a little bit later on in his career, but not quite yet for the guy that the Pistons fans are sad that they looked past in drafting Luke Kennard in the first round this past year. But I wanted to give out some listener feedback as well. My guy Jozak over in Spain, he says on Twitter that he wants a big point guard to match with Andre Drummond. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. The Pistons might be making a trade to bring in a high-caliber player, but that's not really the MO of Detroit teams in the past. I think they try to find some diamonds in the rough, build the organization in kind of that way, and I think that's how they're going to stick. And truth be told, I don't know that you can compile enough assets to get a team like the Charlotte Hornets interested in Kemba Walker or a player like that. As if you want to package maybe Stanley, Kennard, and picks, but now what are you left with when you throw all those young players together looking ahead? And then my guy Joe Denowith on Twitter, he thinks the Pistons should be in the lottery or else this season is a failure. I don't know. I think that ship has sailed. I see that as kind of a 6 or 7 player draft, probably about a 6 player draft right now. And they aren't going to tank that bad to get in the top 6. So you might as well go for it now. There's not a huge difference in my mind when you're looking at this draft between the 12th pick and the 19th pick this year. See, at this point, you might as well go for the playoffs. At some point, this fan base and this podcast host, by the way, are going to need to see some tangible results. So maybe if you make some big moves this summer, but I feel like you need to kind of ride Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond to the playoffs and hope for the best and hopefully, but if you can move like a Stanley Johnson and supplement this team with a more established wing player, then maybe you make that move. But as far as tanking, I think, you know, that decision maybe would have need to have been made last summer or something like that. But as I mentioned earlier, Rep the Squad. Go on the Rep the Squad site, check them out, and let me know what you think. A subscription service for jerseys for football and basketball teams, adding more as time goes on. Check them out and sign up for a subscription. Get 2 weeks free with promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D. They're a great sponsor of ours, so I want you to give them some love and support them as well. So do your part as a Locked On Pistons listener, or at least check out the website and let them and myself know what you think about their concept. But we'll be back on Monday with a look back at the weekend. Pistons got the Wizards and the Nets coming up. Follow us at Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. Follow us on Facebook at Locked On Pistons -MattShook as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.